In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. That's 800-281-4224.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It's the weekend of March the 9th, 2018. Friday dates going into every weekend is what we go by. Thank you for tuning in to Tomorrow. Yes, I am Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
In the control room, the other side of that big plate glass window with a lot more technology and wires and stuff would be Erasmo and Horatio. And I mentioned that we're glad that you've tuned in to Tomorrow, even gladder-er. When you call into the program, we get to hear you. Let us help solve any digital dilemmas that you may have, questions, comments, concerns about anything involving consumer tech, or even better, when you help another listener. That's always awesome.
So do you feel different being a year older since our last show?
Yeah. Yes. I'm now 104, and I feel like only 94.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thanks. Still didn't get my ice cream cake, though. I thought for sure some listener by now would have mailed me an ice cream cake. You know, it would have taken a week to get here, would have been a very warm milkshake-like device by the time it got here. But it's a thought that counts. I still didn't get an ice cream cake. Well, it's all I asked for.
That's what they say, the thought that counts. I thought about getting you an ice cream cake, so
thanks.
It should count.
Thanks so much. Actually, what I asked for my birthday were more calls from our audience. They came through.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll hear from some of them in a little bit.
We will, because that's what counts really the most. It warms the cockles of my heart and the heart of my cockles.
Can you say that on the radio?
I just did. So when you call in, I just couldn't be happier. And I get to hold your hand through the process if you use the 800 number. And when you use it, you'll see what I mean. People tell us that they had fun with it. And more importantly, you get cool prizes after we hear you on the air. So what number, if they want to do it the old-fashioned way, still works well. Toll-free, by the way, from anywhere in North America. Skype into it from anywhere on the planet, if you'd like.
Although with cell phones and VoIP these days, there's not really much toll anymore.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, if you're using still a home phone, what? Like a wired phone? And you didn't cut that cord yet? Then you also have to dial one.
Yes.
But it's free still.
Right. 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
Or if you're lucky and don't have a newer Apple device, you can use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow apps. Work perfectly on all Androids. If you have an Apple device on iOS 11 or higher, still desperately seeking that to work. We're working on it, I hope, somewhere, somebody. But in the meantime, get an Android, and it works just fine.
There you go.
Yeah. Or you can use Google Chrome. We have an app on there, and Amazon has an app. And you were going to say some tech news, maybe.
Sure.
All right.
You know, speaking of Amazon, it may sound like the beginning of a creepy science fiction film, but Amazon Echo owners are reportedly terrified after the devices start laughing without being prompted. The popular gadgets, which use the Alexa AI system, have reportedly been responding with a slightly unnerving laugh when owners have asked it to fulfill the simplest of tasks. Now, according to reports, one owner was greeted with an evil laugh after asking Alexa to turn the lights off, but not before she attempted to turn them back on.
And then laughed.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Another user wrote on Twitter, having an office conversation about pretty confidential stuff, and Alexa just laughed. Anyone else have that?
So didn't even ask Alexa a question.
Right.
Just randomly, you're having a conversation with somebody and she starts laughing.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, Amazon has yet to really officially respond to the error, but say they are investigating why the devices are being activated without command.
I wonder if they're doing that on purpose.
They probably are.
Just because it gets us types talking about them.
Exactly.
It's likely. As Facebook supposedly struggles to contain abuse and objectionable content on their sites, tech giants are continually asking users and others for their opinions. But Facebook is now backtracking after asking the following question during a survey of thousands of users last weekend. Here was the question. In thinking about an ideal world where you could set Facebook's policies, how would you handle the following? A private message in which an adult man asks a 14-year-old girl for sexual pictures. Quote, unquote. What?
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a Facebook survey question last weekend. They put it down. They pulled it off real quick. Facebook backtracking, saying that they frequently run surveys to understand how the community thinks about how we set policies. But that was a mistake.
You think?
Yeah. Really? I mean, why would they even ask such a stupid question? Because they want to set policy? That's disgusting.
I don't know how anyone in their right mind would think that that was an appropriate question to ask.
Of course. Like, that was okay. Yeah. You know, not that we would do it, but we were just asking the question. Please.
It's a common sense thing. You know, just like asking somebody, what would you do if you saw someone murder someone? It's common sense.
Oh, my gosh. Way to go, Facebook. Yeah. Zuckerberg and his geniuses there with that kind of nonsense. And they wonder why they're losing people in droves. Mm-hmm. People are just abandoning Facebook. That and their stupid, goofy algorithms where, I don't know about you, but you see the same posts from the same friends, air quotes, over and over and over. I saw that already 20 times.
Right. Well,
I may or may not have liked it, but I've already seen it enough.
Right. I see that, and I also see the opposite thing. I'll see things from trusted news sources, including even our local TV stations, news items, news stations post something. I'll see it 3 days after the fact.
Oh, great. They're really on top of things.
I mean, you would think that posts from like news organizations should mm-hmm. take priority in your news feed.
And they're dated from 3 days ago.
Right.
That it was published, three days ago.
It's why am I only seeing it now? I mean, you know what?
I think what happened is Facebook is way too big for their britches.
Yeah.
And as a result, they don't know what to do. They're screwing up left and right constantly. Yes, this is a nice tech rage segment. I want to know what our audience thinks. But first of all, what do you think about asking such a survey question? My God. 800-899-INTO, but are you having the same issues with Facebook? And please stop with the, hey, make a comment, say hello, you know, give me an emoji so that it'll fix the algorithm. No, it won't. Don't do it. That's stupid. Don't fall into that trap. It's not going to help you at all. And I know the answer is stop using Facebook, like a lot of people have. And I've heard from so many friends and just otherwise acquaintances or Facebook friends that say, bye, I'm out of here. This thing has gotten so stupid.
I have a couple of friends that gave up Facebook for Lent last year and just never went back. They realized during that 40-day period that they didn't miss it.
Message from God.
Yeah.
Give it up for Lent and don't go back.
Yeah.
That is a classic example. They didn't miss it. It was like they gained probably an hour a day back in their life that they weren't otherwise missing or obtaining because of Facebook crap.
Well, then, you know, that's why I've always told people my favorite vacation is a cruise, because while I love technology and I use it on a daily basis, it sort of forces me to disconnect, especially from Facebook for that 6 or 7 days.
Well, but a lot of cruise lines, of course, now are letting you spend a fortune and get online.
Exactly. Spending a fortune. And I don't want to spend – I've already spent a fortune to get on the boat.
Well, that's true. Sheesh. And then it costs you a fortune just to get off it, which is a whole other story.
So you use the MoviePass thing, don't you?
I do. And I'm trying to take full advantage of it. You know, people see occasional posts from me that I'm at this movie and then I'm at that movie. And it's like, my gosh, what are you, a movie critic or something? No, it's just MoviePass, the $9.95, I think it is, a month. And you can go once a day if you want. I wish I had that kind of time. But I have gone a couple of times a week since I got the MoviePass.
Well, just be careful, because, you know, while you're taking advantage of it, they might be taking advantage of you.
What?
They announced, after that they would be taking steps to improve their customer service, the ticket-buying subscription service is here to remind you that they're still a little sketchy. MoviePass CEO Mitch Lowe reportedly boasted that the app has been collecting data about users' locations before and after they enter a movie theater.
Before and after?
Yes. The app that you're using to get free movie tickets is watching you.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, that's interesting because you used to have to be, they said, within 100 yards of the theater, and then you would check in. And for those who don't know what this is, you sign up, $9.95 a month, and they send you a physical debit card that it says MoviePass on it, red card. And then you use that at the kiosk or at the box office, and they swipe it, and it charges them for your movie. So if you see more than one movie a month, you've paid for your movie pass, because most are $12 these days. If you live in New York and L.A., it's $15 or $20, whatever. But imagine $9.95. That's why I'm saying take advantage of it before they go out of business, because, you know, I'm paying $9.95 a month. I'm going to try to see at least two or three movies.
Well, you know, during a keynote speech at the Entertainment Finance Forum in Hollywood, their CEO said, "We know all about you." He also said, "We get an enormous amount of information. We watch how you drive from home to the movies. We watch where you go afterwards."
Oh, nice. This is creepy.
This was a direct quote from what he said in his keynote. Now, it is true that MoviePass taps into your location service as part of the check-in process, but it was assumed that the GPS function would cease once you close the app. Instead, it seems that Lowe has confirmed that MoviePass app tracks your location for a significant amount of time outside of the movie theater.
Yikes.
In a statement,
it's none of their business that I then go for ice cream or something.
Yeah, well, you know, in a statement to try to clear up the mess, MoviePass released a statement explaining that they are only exploring location data but won't sell it.
Oh, please. Their whole goal was to sell it. That's their business plan. Because at $9.95 a month, if you see more than one movie, it's costing them. So, of course, they've got to sell your information. But I think now what I'm going to have to do is I'll check in, and then I'll not only log off, I'll delete the app. And then before I go see the next movie, I'll download the app again, sign in again, because you still keep your account. That's going to, what a pain, though. And that's funny that the company has to clean up the mess that their CEO created.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar. Wow. Yeah, so I'm not thrilled about that. Although, again, if it's just saying in as a group, you know, for the most part, so much percentage of movie goers then go out to dinner after or go, you know, get an ice cream or something. Generic info, I got no problem with that. Well, that's part of marketing. I get it.
And that's what I guess analysts are saying that they could be using this for, because, you know, you go to your movie, then afterwards you go to a restaurant. Well, they then gives the opportunity for the app to pop up when you're at this particular restaurant and say, "Hey, you just saw this movie. Now here's a deal at this restaurant you're at." You know,
and if it's a deal, I mean, friends of mine that we frequently all get together and go to a movie, they're always looking for those kind of deals. "Hey, let's go to Chili's after because I got a free appetizer." Okay, as long as it can be the skillet queso, I'm in.
You know, and I've noticed when I download most apps to the iPhone that need location access, a lot of times when you go to activate it, you have three options. It's either always, only when using the app, or never.
Yeah.
And I'm always wary about any app that doesn't give me that only while using the app option.
Yeah, of course.
Because you only have two options. Either never allow access or always allow this app to know where you are.
And I'm sure others other than me have tried this where you say deny, you know, when you're getting an app. Okay, fine, it closes. Yeah. It won't install.
I mean, there are certain apps like, you know, Starbucks, for instance. You can't use it if it doesn't know where you're at because it needs to know what store you're at. You know,
because they also, in a creepy way, track everything you do.
Yeah.
But that's 2018 now. Big Brother is not only watching, but following us.
Thank God I lead a boring life, and I don't really have anything to hide. So they can know where I am. I don't care.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I don't have anything to hide either. You know, I mean, I don't want somebody coming up to me and saying, "Are you Dave?" And I'll go, "Why?" as I tap my ankle to make sure I'm carrying.
Well, and luckily, we both live in heavily guarded communities, yes. So I'm not worried about someone coming to my house.
Well, isn't that fun? Well, there's our little tech rage for today. What is yours? Contribute to it. Or any tech rage you have by calling the following number anytime, 24/7.
800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
Or use the audio option in the free apps like our next caller, George in Shreveport, Louisiana, listening on 710 Keel. And we love you for it, George, calling in using the Into Tomorrow Android app. Hey, George.
I am a law enforcement officer, and I'm curious as to whether or not there are any kind of newfangled gadgets or things that you may know about out there that are coming down the road that would make my job a little easier or perhaps even a lot safer. Would love to hear and find out what you might know.
Well, that's a good question, George, and thank you for your service. As you may or may not know, I'm also a former law enforcement officer many years with Miami-Dade Police down here in our neck of the woods. And I think that's an awesome question, too. There are actually a lot of new gadgets coming out all the time that may help police officers. Some of them may not even be the kind the officer would wear. For example, besides the obvious advancements such as cameras, wearable and otherwise, there are some really interesting futuristic gadgets, a lot of which are trickling down from the military.
Yeah, you've probably heard about the military drones that are making their way to police departments. But did you know that there are throwable cameras?
Throwable
camera. Some of them are just balls that have 360-degree views, but some of them are actually small tennis ball-sized robots on wheels that can be controlled remotely to get a view of an area before having to go in.
I like that. Instead of lobbing in a smoke grenade or tear gas grenade, throw a drone.
Yeah.
You might get a better look at what you're up against. Now, some police cars as well are also being outfitted with rocket launchers. Well, kind of. A company called Star Chase makes a cannon of sorts that lives in the grill of some police cars and is designed for chases. When the officer is chasing someone who won't pull over, they can approach the car, pressurize the cannon, and fire a sticky dart that will attach to the car being pursued, which then transmits a GPS location every 5 seconds. Imagine that. If we had that when I was a cop, that'd be amazing. You had to depend on the helicopter if it was not in another part of town and let them chase. But that way the officer can continue the pursuit more safely without having to worry about losing track of the subject or staying on their tail at high speeds, for example. Obviously, a battery-operated GPS dart is less costly than flying that chopper, so there are potential savings for the police department as well. But, of course, you got to be one of the cars that has it equipped.
And you've probably heard about the spot shooter already. This is a system that can figure out where a gunshot sound comes from by using an array of microphones spread across the city. Some versions can also give officers a direction and speed of movement if the suspect is shooting while on the move. Another gadget inherited from the military is PatrolBot. This is a telebot that allows an officer to sit at a desk and patrol an area remotely through a robot that they can control in real time. PatrolBot can also be used to scan buildings and create floor plans autonomously without risking an officer's safety.
Now, that's safety, rather.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense. And, George, I think there's several other things. I'd like to open this up to our audience as well, if law enforcement or otherwise, that knows of some additional things that would help George and other law enforcement officers. I think that's awesome. But you kind of get the idea. There are many things available these days that would make your job a whole lot easier, safer, more productive, make it safer for the community around you as well. And that's really what it's all about in the long run, keeping everybody safe, including the suspect. You want to put them in cuffs and get them behind bars, him or her, whatever that might be. IntoTomorrow.com for more.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now, 800-948-6519, 800-948-6519. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote, 800-948-6519, 800-948-6519, 800-948-6519. That's 800-948-6519. NMLS number 1136.
Covering the nearly nearly $350 billion consumer electronics industry for 23 years now. I'm Dave Graveline, and you're tuned into Tomorrow.
I'm Chris Graveline. Stay tuned. We'll be chatting soon with Donna Sorkin, the executive director of the American Cochlear Implant Alliance. She's going to talk to us about how they advance access to the gift of hearing that is provided by cochlear implantation.
Now, into Tomorrow's favorite app of the week. What's your favorite app?
We know you have one, and we'd much rather hear you talk about it, but we get the occasional email that we will read. For example, Cal in Russellville, Kentucky, listens on WTN 99.7.
He says, "Hi, Dave. I'm a longtime listener and would prefer to send you this via the app, but the Apple's latest update isn't playing nice with it."
Oh, imagine that.
Mm-hmm. He says, "My favorite app at the moment is LastPass, a secure application that helps me keep my login information organized and secure. I became interested in this after several of my online accounts were compromised. My fault. I was recycling one password and was not changing it periodically.
Oops.
LastPass is easy to use on my phone or tablet and will help the user set up and securely save complex and random passwords. Since the app does the remembering part, different passwords can be used for every site, which can prevent someone from spoofing that one password that gives them access to everything they do online. LastPass can also save secure notes. If you have things you need to remember and don't want to leave in open notes, it can also fill in forms. LastPass is accessible by biometric recognition or using a password and is available on most OS app stores. My one LastPass premium account syncs across all my devices, and types of logins can be organized by type to make locating what you need easy cheesy. Now, all of this security hinges on LastPass itself remaining secure, which has been no problem over the year I have been using it. This app is available for free, but the expanded feature set is available in its premium version. I really appreciate the service Into Tomorrow provides to the tech community and wish you many successful years to come."
Well, thank you, Cal. And because your app's not working because you're on an iPhone, you can call 800-899-INTO next time.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-610-9070. That's 800-610-9070. 800-610-9070.
Wearables are coming in every shape and application these days. Some are helpful, of course, some informative. Just imagine what they'll be able to learn about you. Where you're at, what you're doing, what you want, what you need, what shape you're not in. And, of course, we here at Into Tomorrow can help. If you've got any questions about wearables or anything involving consumer tech, I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for tuning Into Tomorrow, our 23rd year on the air helping solve, hopefully, your digital dilemmas. If you've got any question, comment, concern about anything involving consumer tech, we want to hear from you. Maybe you have some further suggestions for other listeners. You want to help another listener. Some of our favorite calls certainly coming from our own listeners helping others. Perhaps you just want to share with us your favorite app these days. Whatever the case, we do want to hear from you. Please make a note of the following toll-free number. It's toll-free from anywhere in North America. It might be the old-fashioned way, but it works best. And I sort of hold your hand through the process. You need to call and see what I mean by that. Check us out at 800-899-INTO. Anytime, 24-7, you've got a question or comment or concern, 800-899-4686. Or you can use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow apps. Either way, we want to hear you on the air. And then, of course, call in and win stuff is a good mantra to remember. Our next guest joins us from a not-for-profit that advances access to the gift of hearing provided by cochlear implantation. The executive director of the American Cochlear Implant Alliance is Donna Sorkin. Donna, welcome Into Tomorrow. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure to have you, and I think that it's very cool that what you guys are doing in helping so many people of all ages, mind you, be able to hear again or hear better, or in some cases, perhaps I'm assuming, hear for the first time.
That's correct. And the organization was started because this is extraordinary 21st century technology. In the old days when you would lose your hearing or if you were born deaf, there really was no hearing solution for someone. But this technology does allow someone who, either a child who's born deaf or someone who loses their hearing suddenly or someone who loses their hearing gradually over time, it does allow you to regain a sense of hearing that's not the same as normal hearing, but it's really wonderful, and it's quite close to what people remember a sound to be before they lost their hearing.
And that is amazing. Or again, for those who, for whatever reason, as you mentioned, born deaf or something, never hearing before, I guess it's certainly a shock to their system to suddenly hear. So I'm assuming that when you do something like that, you've got to introduce hearing to them very carefully and slowly the first time.
Oh, that is true, particularly with a baby.
Yeah.
Who's born deaf and hasn't had any sensation of sound or very little sensation. Usually children, if they're born deaf, they may have some residual hearing, and if they do, what we typically do is fit them with traditional hearing aids so they have some sense of hearing. But some of you may have seen the videos of children on the day of activation and activation, and you just see their little eyes pop open when they can hear for the first time. So we do start slowly with that sound, keep it pretty low volume, and then work up over a period of weeks and months until it is at normal levels. And the other thing to know about it for babies, and really for anyone, you actually hear with your brain, and your ears are just the way in. And so you're really teaching the brain to use that new signal that it's receiving via the cochlear implant.
And Donna, I'm delighted to hear you say that we really hear with our brain, and the ears are just a way of getting that sound in, because that makes all the sense, especially when we're talking about what a cochlear implant does. And I want to get into that a little bit more in just a moment. But at the risk of sounding a bit naive or uninformed, how do we know when a newborn has hearing difficulty? Because, it's very difficult, of course, having raised kids and grandkids, that, as a baby, you're trying to get reaction from them. Is that sort of what you're doing, clapping or making noise, see if they're turning their heads and trying to ascertain if there could be an issue there?
Well, that's actually a really great question. And when I first got into this field, which was in 1993, children were born with hearing loss, and we didn't know it until they were 2.5 years old.
Wow.
And that, what you described, the banging of pots or clapping of hands, that sometimes people did if they suspected their child had a hearing loss, is no more. And what's really wonderful about what happens now is we do screen children in the hospital before they go home. And we're now screening in the U.S. about 98% of babies for hearing loss.
Oh, wow. Well, then what's involved in the screening? How do they know?
So there's a test that's done in the hospital, and it's a passive test. And it turns out that your ears, when they're exposed to sound, emit a signal that can be picked up by a special instrument. And so the baby, when they're just laying in a crib or in a bed or whatever, they are, a sound is emitted into the ear, a measurable sound, and then one can see what comes back into the instrument, and it's actually a fairly accurate measurement of hearing loss.
Cool.
And typically what's done is that test is repeated 2 more times to confirm a hearing loss in a child. And then what the parent can do after that process is we do and have what's called early intervention in this country, and someone comes into the home and tells the parent about what their options are. So the unfortunate part of that element of the process is that too often families are not told about the cochlear implant option. They may be told about sign language and the benefit that that provides. They may be told about hearing aids, but often they're not told about cochlear implants and how important it is for a child.
And why is that, Donna, do you think? Is it a matter of maybe some in the medical profession feel that it's still too experimental, or could that be the issue, or the expense involved? I mean, tell us, you know, why you think that's not happening, where they're not recommending it.
It's not the expense. It's covered by insurance. It's not the medical profession viewing it as experimental, because it's not viewed as experimental. This has been an approved indication.
For some time, yeah.
FDA approval for a long time. The reason often is that the individuals who come into someone's home come from a perspective that doesn't view deafness as a disability that needs to be fixed.
Oh, geez.
And so people are not necessarily getting information about all options, and parents are not getting the ability to make informed choices about what they wish to do with their children.
Gotcha.
In this country, we provide cochlear implants to about 50% of children born deaf who could benefit from the intervention. In Western European countries, where the information provided comes via somebody in the healthcare profession as opposed from the deaf education profession, the numbers are between 90 and 95%.
Oh, wow. So we have some work to do here in the U.S., by all means.
Yes, we do.
And Donna, real quick, for those who may not be very familiar with the cochlear implant, how does it work? What is it actually doing? Because it's not a hearing aid as we would know it, not something you would insert in your ear, that kind of thing. How does it work? It's actually attached to your head, yes?
That's a great question. I want to first say that there's a lot of information on this on our website, which is www.acialliance.org. Way more information than I can provide now, but essentially someone wears what is the equivalent of a little computer on your ear. Looks like a hearing aid.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a transmitter that connects to a device that's inserted during surgery. So it does involve a surgery that takes between 1 and 2 hours. It's usually done on an outpatient basis. And during that surgery, an ENT surgeon with special training in cochlear implants inserts an electrode array into the cochlea of the ear. And so when you hear something, the sound comes into your ear, and then it's amplified by the three little bones in your middle ear, and then it's sent to the cochlea, and from there it goes to the brain for interpretation. But with this process, the sound comes into what's called a sound processor that someone's wearing on their ear, and that processor takes that sound and changes it into an electronic signal with all the characteristics of sound.
Gotcha.
And that's then sent across the skin to a receiver that's been put in during the surgery, and it's taken and transmitted to the brain, where after some period of time, we learn to interpret this as sound. I mentioned earlier, it takes time to learn to.
Sure. Therapy and so forth. So that's have you personally benefited? My producer was telling me from receiving a cochlear implant.
I have indeed, and I'm talking to you on the phone. If you hadn't asked me that, your listeners would not have known probably that I was deaf. I have been using a cochlear implant since 1992, and I have benefited from the improvements in the technology. So I had one surgery, one device that was inserted into my head during that surgery, and then I've had 6 upgrades in the external device, and each time I've benefited from all the amazing changes and improvements in technology that all of us have seen with computers and all the technology that we use. I use Bluetooth with my cell phone, just like you do when I go to a theater and I'm some distance from the stage and I want to bring that sound into my processor. There's a device that does that and is provided in all theaters under the Americans with Disabilities Act. I have different programs that work in different sound settings. So this technology was amazing when I received it in 1992.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, it's gotten way better since then. And I've had so many changes and improvements from the size of the external device, which used to be a box that I would wear on my waistband with wires that would come up through my shirt. That's gone. That's been gone for a long time. Mm. To now what is a fairly small device. This, basically the size of a hearing aid that I wear behind my ear.
Yeah. It truly is amazing what technology can do. And, of course, we've been reporting on that for 23 years. But I love how, as you stressed, one surgery many years ago and then the upgrades, six of which you have been able to experience, can improve your life so dramatically. We invite our audience, of course, to visit your website, ACIAlliance.org, for the American Cochlear Implant Alliance. We'll get you there, too, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. You'll be a click away from Donna's site and see what she and her team are up to on a regular basis. Check it all out. Donna, we thank you. Keep up the good work, and we'll certainly continue to promote what you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Think you're stuck with slow internet because of where you live? Think again. Do what we did and order HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. HughesNet delivers the speed you need with the data you want and is available where you live. Own a business? HughesNet has plans for you too. Text RADIO to 35000 for offers in your area. That's RADIO to 35000. HughesNet, high-speed internet available where you live or work.
Letting you know what else you just can't live without. I'm Dave Graveline. You're listening to Into Tomorrow.
And this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. Visit HughesNet.com.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History.
Here's Chris.
This week in 1876, Alexander Graham Bell sent the first clear telephone message into a nearby room to his assistant, Thomas Watson. "Mr. Watson, come here. I want you," were the first words spoken into the invention that Bell had created. I can imagine if that was overheard these days, it'd probably be taken somewhat differently.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah, I would think.
Yeah.
What do you want him for? Well, anyway.
In 1891, this week, Alman Stroger, an undertaker in Topeka, Kansas, patented the Stroger switch, a device which led to the automation of telephone circuit switching. This was actually done after he realized calls coming in for his services were being routed to his competitor, who happened to be married to the operator.
Yeah. So, funny how that worked. Yeah,
so he came up with a device that put the operator out of a job.
Good.
In 1961 this week, Sputnik 9 successfully launched, carrying a mannequin named Ivan Ivanovich, along with a dog, various reptiles, and 80 mice and guinea pigs.
What were the dogs and other animals' names?
I don't know.
You told us the astronaut. Were the dogs and the mice didn't count?
Probably not.
Oh.
But you know, this demonstrated that the Soviet Union was ready to begin human spaceflight. And this week in 1985, the first internet domain name, symbolics.com, was registered for free. By 1995, domain names were no longer free to register, and the company Network Solutions managed the registration process and raped people in the process.
Yes.
domain registration prices were $100 for 2 years of registration per domain name.
Jeez.
By 2014, most .com domain registration prices had dropped to about $10 to $15 per year. That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info on these annual retail events at ifa-berlin.com.
I think I know what the Russian dog in space's name was.
I'm afraid to ask.
Sputnik. Michael in Toledo, Ohio, listening on CKLW. Hey, Michael.
So I recently bought a gaming laptop, and if I were going to hook up a monitor to it and keyboard and just leave the laptop closed, almost using it just as like a computer tower, is that going to be more work for the laptop than just using the actual laptop display? Will it cause the laptop to heat up more, or is that something that might actually keep the heat down because it is a separate screen and the laptop itself would be closed while operating?
Michael, that's a really good question, and it's been a while since we've gotten a question like that because I think more folks are concerned. The screen doesn't really generate a lot of heat. Now, don't take our word for it. You can test that by touching it. So you won't be keeping the heat down by using an external monitor. Don't let that be the reason. If you were just doing office work or general web browsing, running your laptop with the screen down would probably be just fine. Modern laptops don't heat up very much at all, but you're talking about gaming. Now, gaming in particular will certainly heat up your laptop like few other tasks can. And you may need the best heat dissipation you can get.
Yeah, some laptop models do just fine with the lid closed. They don't have vents around the keyboard, and they have fans strong enough to cool the computer when it's closed or open, but that's not the case for all of them. If you can, keep the laptop open and off to the side, but if the screen being on bothers you, a compromise may be to plug in the external monitor, press the Windows key and P, and just ask it to use the external monitor only. That should turn off the built-in monitor without compromising any airflow. Now, for other tasks, we'd tell you not to worry about it, but for gaming, opening the lid might be a better choice.
Yeah, in this case. Michael, let us know what works out best for you. Just kind of keep a general idea of the heat situation, and hopefully our suggestions will be of assistance. Intotomorrow.com for more, as well as all 3 hours of the broadcast.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Call 800-523-9112. That's 800-523-9112. Again, 800-523-9112.
While you're trying to find that perfect selfie angle, be sure to keep listening into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline in the control room, Horatio and Erasmo, and here in the studio,
Chris Graveline, reminding you that you can listen to all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our free Into Tomorrow app and by visiting our website at intotomorrow.com. Streaming is provided by StreamGuys.com.
Dave in North Pole, Alaska, listens on 970 AM KFBX. Hey, Dave.
I'm calling about the 5-year-old young Graveline on the show. I have older stepsons that couldn't have accomplished what he did on the show. When I say older, I'm talking in their late 20s.
Oh, geez.
Awesome young man, very well taught. And I guess if I have to turn it into a question, I'll say, wow, how did you do it? Smiley face.
Smiley face. Well, thank you, Dave. He's referring, of course, to Cameron, my 5-year-old grandson, Chris's son, but that doesn't count. My grandson counts. If you missed that last week, be sure to check it out at intotomorrow.com and look for Cameron's review of my first sketchpad at intotomorrow.com.